The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Good song. Good song. I was playing Bruce Springsteen for the kids the other day.
Oh, how'd they like it?
Yeah, Gio's like, come on, Dad. He goes, this is, I was playing Brilliant Disguise. I mean, such a great song.
I like that song.
Dude, I mean, look at the lyrics. I said, listen to what he's saying. Yeah. You know, and he goes, you got any Little Nas X? You got M&M?
Are you guys in the kitchen making the gravy at the time?
No, we were in the kitchen, man. We were walking.
You have matching t-shirts with gravy stains on
it? We were walking home from getting ice cream, and we were playing
ice cream.
Now in ice cream. Gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah, you know what?
Come back and get some gelato.
They don't have any good gelato by us. It's ice cream. And
we were playing bocce. Went to get a gelato and came home and we're talking about
guy. I said, how can you listen to the words? Listen to what he's singing about.
They're playing Brishko.
Is it you, baby, or just a brilliant disguise?
I think that may be my favorite Springsteen song.
It's top five. It's got to be.
Playing The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. If Casey Johnson's kid likes it, your kid's bound to like it.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Lots of great caller interaction. Lots of angry White Sox fans, guys. Get ready. And I don't blame them.
You never heard the story of Casey Johnson's youngster?
Oh, yeah.
Loves Gordon Lightfoot's Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He was going to a birthday party. Told the story on our air. He was going to a birthday party, and the mom asked, what's your favorite song? Yeah. And he said, it's The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So all the songs were playing. And Casey's like, oh, no. Oh, they haven't played it yet. When they get to the singing, like 7-minute version of The Sinking of Me, and there it is. It goes on and on and on. But that's his kid's favorite song.
He was like eight, and that was his favorite
How do
song.
You remember this? Because Casey hasn't been on our air in maybe a decade, has he?
Casey called in when we were talking about we commemorated that day, which is November 10th, 1973, you don't know it.
That's right.
The 29 souls that were lost on the big lake they call Gichigumi.
That's right.
Lake Superior.
That's Lake Superior.
That was some show right there.
Is that just like The Waiver Wire? Did you bring that to the table?
1 year we were out on remote, we brought a bell, and we had people come and ring a bell for every sailor that lost his life.
Souls.
And
they call them souls.
And we were drinking Edmund Fitzgerald Great Lakes. And
Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
These guys love it.
We were drinking the Edmund Fitzgerald Porter.
These guys are big Great Lakes guys.
Thanks to Black and Abdallah, by the way. Thanks to Connor McKnight. Crosstalk's brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend.
There's talk about those guys doing the commercials for Great Lakes.
They do the commercials.
Yeah. Guys, I'm talking about television commercials. Oh. I'm talking next level type stuff.
We'll see.
They're going to go in a circle around these guys if both of them are discussing stuff at a sports bar drinking some of the Great Lakes products.
Nice.
That's big. They're
talking about, guys, a couple hundred G's.
The Great Lakes.
I'm with you. A couple hundred G's per guy. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge beer guy like Freddie Huebner, like Black and Abdallah, but I do like porter. The Great Lakes Christmas Ale is the best out of all the Christmas ales.
Even when it's not Christmas?
The best.
It's phenomenal.
It's the best.
It's my favorite one.
How long can you drink a Christmas ale till? What's your drop dead day?
New Year's Day.
January 7th. Like the Christmas tree.
The two I like are the Anchor Steam. I like the Anchor Steam one. And I like the... that was good.
Hello, how are you?
And the Great Lakes one. The Great Lakes one is so good, but you can only drink it during the holidays.
That was good.
I saw
two people walk in. I'm like, no,
you're going the wrong direction, kid. I moved over to get an angle.
When does the
I got boxed
Christmas,
out.
When does the Christmas sale start? December 1st after Thanksgiving?
It's November 1.
No, I'm asking you when you start.
November. I put my Christmas decorations up like November 15th.
You got any pumpkin stuff going, kid?
I will next weekend.
Any spiced latte?
I decorate the house for Halloween. I like to decorate Halloween and Christmas.
Does Great Lakes got a nice pumpkin flavored beer?
I don't know.
Well, something with a little pumpkin.
I tried. You know who likes pumpkin beer? Richard likes pumpkin beer.
Another Howard reference.
I tried pumpkin beer. I tried a pumpkin ale once, and I was like,
didn't like it.
No, it wasn't for me.
You know, I'm really big into the pumpkin seeds these days. I've always have been.
Good for you.
But do you ever make them yourself?
Love it. Yeah. It's fun with the kids.
That was one thing we did with my dad. Sprinkle on top of them for the flavor.
Salt. I like salt.
Yeah. I've experienced other stuff also on there, and they're equally as flavorful.
What, like what?
I don't know. I just received them, and it was just more than salt. It was
sort of like weed brownies. They got weed seeds.
No, it's not. You didn't know what you were eating?
Jackaloons.
What are you talking about? Why are you talking in code?
It's a mixture. It was a mixture of stuff. It could have been like
cumin and paprika.
What about a little cinnamon? You ever have cinnamon?
Could have been a smoked paprika in there. Just a little bit, a hint of smidge.
Yeah. What about pumpkin pie?
Oh,
I like pumpkin pie.
I'm telling you, good pumpkin pie now.
Pumpkin pie, pecan.
When isn't it pie season?
Carbs.
Pumpkin pie looks like diarrhea and a crust.
So it tastes great,
Sweet potato pie, my favorite. Looks like diarrhea and a crust.
Joe's Seafood sent over food the other day when we were doing it for Peggy and I and the crew.
Jake sent pumpkin pie?
No, key lime pie.
Key lime pie.
I used to be in their pie club. You know, they have a pie of the month club.
I bet.
Who's the leader?
Where you get a pie every month.
No kidding.
Yes, where they do like their
October 24th for Christmas ale is what I'm being told from the fine folks at Great Lakes Brewing. Shout out, Eric!
Can't wait.
How are you?
We got to get it in here that day. But yeah, sweet potato pie. But Sylvie's favorite is the pecan pie.
Yes,
that's Sylvie's favorite.
But I do not discriminate against any sort of pie.
I don't either, really. I like all pie.
I'm a French silk guy myself.
I like chocolate cream or French silk. Yeah,
they got the chocolate shavings up on top of the creme de la creme.
I'm with Sylvie. There's not many I don't like. I like a good fruit pie.
Rhubarb?
I love strawberry rhubarb.
Like apple pie right now, in season.
Or like the peach berry pies that are in season right now.
You get a nice
blueberry, turnip pie.
You get a nice cherry pie, man. That is so cool.
I like it all.
Big scoop
of vanilla ice cream. Man alive.
It was right my freshman or sophomore year that song came out. And boy, was that. Was
Warrant?
That
Warrant? Warrant, I believe. Yeah.
It was Warrant. I saw Warrant at the registry in Chesterton, Indiana.
That's a good show.
It was like last Wednesday, wasn't it?
That's funny.
That's amazing.
No, it was probably about...
lead singer's bald now.
Eight, ten years ago. Vince Neil doesn't even have a voice. He just lets the crowd sing it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Just holds the microphone out there.
The mic. Yeah.
It's like doing the seventh inning stretch of it, Wrigley. Unless you want to go with Peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
So we're playing Girls, Girls, Girls. He's like... Girls. Then just puts the mic out because the voice is shot.
Is he still getting paid for that?
Yeah, really?
Oh, they're all good.
You know, today is a seventh inning stretch anniversary. Our guy Mitch.
Mitch?
Our listener, Mitch. Where's Mitch from? Mitch
and Plains.
Mitch in Ottawa. Bartlett Mitch, who's been a longtime loyal listener. He'll feed me every now and then a good nugget or two, like on Instagram. He'll slide into my DMs with a good info. Today is the 25-year anniversary of when Harry Carey sang his last seventh-inning stretch at Wrigley Field.
Really?
Remember, it was at the end of the season in 1997.
Yes.
And then he passed away in the late winter, early spring of 98.
I want to say March of 98, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Or February. Maybe even February.
How often do they still have people singing up there?
I don't know.
Well, do they do that still?
Well, they remember for years they wouldn't go to Harry on the Jumbotron.
Right.
And that was our big movement. Now they do that more times than not.
Good. Yeah, and that's fine.
That's the way it should be.
Let's get a big stud in there. You know, some big star in there.
You get Bob Odenkirk. I get it.
Yes. Right. Former Cub comes into town.
Kanye wants to sing the seventh inning stretch. Put Kanye up there, you know?
Yes. 25 years ago, the last time Harry Carey sang... at Wrigley Field.
Boy, we never talked about it because I was so far behind. And you guys had Odenkirk on. I finally got...
What'd you get through
it? I finally finished. I'm telling you, that show...
They crossed the T's and dotted the I's at the end. Yeah, I like that when they do that.
And it's hard to wrap these all-time epic shows up. I mean, people bitch about The Sopranos and Seinfeld. And
yeah.
I thought it was great.
It kind of like, without giving anything away, it was one of those full circle endings, right? For him as a character.
I thought the last scene was great where she goes to see him.
I found myself
wondering, why did you do it?
I found myself being sad for him.
We should do a pod on this for those who have watched. Yeah. So we don't spoil it.
Special pod. I think you guys are right. I wish The Sopranos would have ended with Tony getting killed and the son getting killed and had the two girls left and the two girls had to run the family.
That's harsh.
Okay.
That's how I think
And you wanted a spinoff?
And a spinoff with the girls running The Soprano.
I always thought he, look, and this is open to interpretation. I think that's why they do it. I always thought, always, that Tony gets it in the end. And I think he's
even admitted, like he said,
yeah. Like, that was what we were kind of going for.
Yes. That they all got it.
Yeah. Gandolfini's
that they all got
it, wasn't it? No, remember the commercial for the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's right, right,
when
they're
out in front of the diner, like those guys, his son and his daughter were there. The thing that I always loved about The Sopranos ending was you remember it clearly because of the controversy.
Totally.
So, like, say what you want, whether you liked it or not. You remember the fading to black. You remember Don't Stop Believing. You remember the parallel parking.
Yep.
Trying to parallel park.
And the, you're right, Sylvie.
Because it, how many of those do you remember, like, the last episode?
Like, crystal clear. You're so right. And it was that music and the shots between them inside and waiting for them to all come in because the Carmella and Tony were there first. And then Meadow trying to parallel all of it. The guy in the members only jacket. Like, the whole thing. Like, you really do. You can see it all. You hear the music. And then everybody thought their cable went out.
Remember, it was like, wait, what?
Yeah. You didn't quite know it. There was no music. There were no credits. It was just like this fade to black for like 9 seconds. Like, did the cable go out? What happened?
And then we waited better how long, and then we got the prequel, and I thought it was awful.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I'm with you. I didn't like it.
People were fired up, too, after the... Remember, that was back in the day where you could talk about a TV show the very next day.
Right.
Because if you missed it, how many people had TiVo back in the day? I don't even know when.
If you didn't see it, you were out of luck because we were going to talk about
it. You were part of the conversation. Yeah. Yeah. You watched it when the show was on. Yeah. We didn't watch it on demand. And everyone, that was the topic on ESPN 1000 that day.
Yeah, there was no spoiler alert back then.
Sylvie's right. We were at the golf outing. We were up at Stonewall Orchard. I remember.
See?
Yeah.
You remember all, like, how many
years from now will you remember the outcome of last night's Sox game?
Probably. I'll remember, you go to your bullpen when you take a lead, you're facing two guys with sub 300 on base percentages, and you walk them both. You know, four walks, guys, from the bullpen. One was intentional. All four scored.
Wasn't he one of the leaders in walks from relievers all year? Isn't that why?
Diekman, yeah. That's why Boston didn't want him.
He struggled all year. He hasn't been that good here either. He's been hit hard. I mean,
there was so much symbolism in that game with regard to the entire season as well.
Right. Guys,
were you talking about Jimmy Lambert or Diekman?
Lambert. Yeah, Lambert more specifically because they had just taken the lead.
3-1 lead, right? Yeah.
And the bottom of the order.
The crowd was into the game. Everyone was
Cleveland was trying to give that game to them,
and you give it right back. Yeah. That's been the killer all year.
Doubleheader, including 15 innings in one game on Saturday. They played Sunday. They played yesterday. Monday. The White Sox were off. They played 52 innings of baseball.
And they're still taking extra bases in the extra innings.
They do it all right.
And boy, the Sox were handed the gift of gifts.
Yes.
Of that call. Like, the tab was on his shoulder. His whole arm got in on the play.
Yeah. Why is that? I mean, I know it's not the rule, but I'm surprised. I thought every scoring play in pretty much all professional sports.
Gotta be seventh inning.
I know, but don't you think, though, that we've gotten to the point now where all runs should be if you need to go?
I think they're afraid it might slow it down too much if you can go to the umps, to the crew challenge every time.
A home run can
be any time.
Right, I know that.
Siciliano pitched that. Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network, does the red zone. He was pitching. He's an Indian. He was a Guardians fan. He's a huge Guardians fan, and he was saying that every scoring play should be reviewed.
Yeah.
Like, not even by the umpire, just the buzz of it. Yes. And say, look, let it clear.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure. Yeah, and most of
you
them
can
are
do that
barely,
quickly.
Yeah. I think they're worried about
it. And by the way, there aren't that
down.
Many runs. I mean, so.
Well, I don't know.
That need to be contested.
I don't know. I think they're worried about what's slowing it down more than it already is slow. Although the game's going to pick up next year. I'm convinced of that. I really am. I think it's going to pick up.
Well, when you're in any type of situation, a run could mean anything. I mean, that run could have been for a team to go to the postseason.
Look, they caught a huge break, and they did nothing with it.
Yeah.
You caught a huge break.
Well, you caught a huge break earlier, too, when they kicked a double play.
Yeah. There was the one mistake they made all night, you know?
It's just been one of those years.
It has.
Sylvie's got some great research for it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's one of the White Sox business.
Well, I'm telling you.
Am I going to be? What is
that's
it?
That's the battle cry.
Yeah.
The battle cry is, do you know why the Sox tell you to stay out of their business?
Yeah. Because they don't want people digging in?
Because they stink. Because if you find out the real truth, it will get you upset. So what they've done is they rile up their fan base to tell people who don't cheer for them to stay out of our business, to keep it a secret
on
how poorly run of an organization it has been over Jerry's reign. I dug into the numbers I'm at 3 o'clock.
Oh, God.
I will share White Sox business with everybody.
Their mantra is,
and you should be angry.
Stay out of the park.
I'm already angry.
Anyway.
Funny guy.
You're going to be even angry.
Out of the park. Let when the you pay.
I think what's going to happen is it's just going to be confirmation of stuff you already know. When you put it in context, it's going to piss you off.
And it should. And
if
this was you telling me about the Cubs with issues before they changed their way of doing business, or the Bulls, let's compare apples and apples with Jerry. If you would tell me we're all Bulls fans, like there's no hey you stay out of Bulls business because we're all Bulls fans. I would get mad at the Bulls, not mad at the messenger.
Yeah,
Sox fans, when you hear this. There's a lot of similarities between the Bears and the White Sox.
I was going to say, Bears fans, you haven't had it a whole lot better either.
Say Bulls and the White Sox. Jerry's the common denominator. I thought you were going to say Bulls and Sox.
The only thing that has separated the Bulls is one man.
Yeah, of course.
Michael. It's Michael Jordan, and Jerry inherited him. Yeah.
Michael and Scotty. That's it.
They drafted Scotty while Jerry was.
Oh, that's true.
Now, they inherited when they bought the Bulls.
Yeah, that's true.
They had Michael in their lap.
They did.
Without Michael.
No, you're right.
It's 80 the only plus thing. Years.
It's the only thing.
One championship.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, you're right. That's the only thing that differentiates, and Michael was already there. He was presented to them when they bought
Cap the team. Wants to fight me on this stuff all the time. And I want to do a podcast with him because he works where he works, and it's owned by a certain few owners in town, and that's why he shapes.
You go ahead and be specific.
Yeah, I mean, look, NBC Sports Chicago is owned by how many owners now? Is it three
Jerry,
teams? It's the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks. Yes? Right. I think that's
and the Cubs have
the Cubs. And then NBC owns.
Then they got half of it.
So
it they is, got two teams on there, so they got half of it.
Exactly. So follow the money and follow why the opinions are his opinions because of where he works. This is facts, and I'm going to deliver it at 3 o'clock.
Oh. We got to wait all the way to 3?
That's a tease. That's a 40-yard
field tease. Fields has changed. Did you see Fields is changing his...
We played it. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a non-apology.
Yeah, non-apology. It's a non-apology.
Kind of like, I don't know any fans. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that part.
He's like, I don't know the fans. I don't know what they do or they were. It's kind of like, Justin, just worry about getting better.
I'm talking about me working on Sunday.
Let's worry about getting better.
Well, a lot of the writers are saying that he sort of changed his approach today.
Where they said he's a different personality.
He's more affable.
He was throwing meatballs to the meatballs.
That's what we were saying. He's serving up meatballs today.
Oh, boy.
I think he...
Meatballs for the meatballs.
Someone got in his ear, whether it's the Bears or his own agent, and said, look, let's get rid of the mumbling.
Wait a minute.
Let's project.
Is that Roquan Smith his agent? I mean, who is his agent?
So.
Is it Roquan?
I don't think
Has Roquan reached out now and is representing more people?
He's going to represent himself and Justin.
I don't know
Roquan
that.
Roquan may want to take the last offer from the Bears, if any,
Ouch.
You guys are a little harsh on Roquan.
Yeah, I know. I was a little surprised that you...
A little soft on Roquan.
The whole world wanted Roquan to get paid. And
I still would sign.
It didn't all work out, and now everybody's going to blame a linebacker for what the defensive line was doing.
Roquan will be all right. I think.
But if you do want $100 million, don't you have to be great?
He didn't play well.
You want $100 million? You got to be great.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Not
this. Yes, he should.
If I was a GM, $100 million
is going to be just an average contract here when they get.
But it's not now.
Not for an off the ball linebacker.
Yeah, right. It's not now.
Average.
That's getting paid like a star.
Well, I said I'd never pay him $20 million anyway. So
Fields, and then at 3, you're going to unload on my White Sox. I get it.
I think you should just call Carm and get him on the phone.
You want to be on the phone for this?
No. I'm just going to listen as a Waddle and Sylvie fan. But I know a lot of it. I've been to the bottom of 20 years.
Wind it up.
I've complained about him for 20 years.
I've got good comps, too. I've got good comps with this whole picture. People like the comps upstairs when I delivered it.
Oh. All the stuff he's
You've already done
said
your show upstairs?
Over the years.
Yeah. Pre-show fist fight.
Oh, okay.
About, so we've been here forever.
All the stuff Sylvie's said there over the years about the Bulls.
There you go.
I've complained about...
Once a day.
I've complained about my White Sox.
Yeah,
and
you
if
have.
He were a Sox fan instead of a Cup fan, he'd be doing... He would have done the double up all these years. I've said the same thing about the White Sox. They're frustrating. They make it hard to cheer for them, quite frankly.
Carmen, not everyone is like us. Like, you and I go after the teams when we're frustrated.
Yes.
A lot of people go after the messenger because they're like, oh, don't you dare rip my team. You know, instead of being the person like... Instead of being the person mad with your own team, they're mad at the messenger.
It's our fault that the White Sox have the worst defensive outfield in baseball. That's our fault?
It's directly your fault.
I mean, like, get real.
It is your fault.
It is.
If you weren't such a jerk.
Yeah, my fault. They got poor Gavin. And I don't even blame those players. You're putting first baseman and DHs in the outfield.
Good topic for later in the week that we discussed, too. Do they need to pull off the Jose Abreu Band-Aid? And say, look, we've got a bunch of first basemen. We need to let Abreu walk. Let Vaughn play first. Yes. Let's go get a real
Abreu
outfielder.
Abreu is Carm's Richard Seymour.
Let Aloy DH. Stop allowing all these guys who shouldn't be playing positions.
Agreed.
And let the first baseman be first baseman and let the older guy walk and maybe solidify your team in other areas.
Like Abreu's, he's probably top five in average right now, isn't he?
He's
become a singles hitter.
Yeah.
He's been great as a White Sox player. He's been great.
We said that today. That's a conversation we're going to have
that's a good one.
Gets near.
I have a lot of redundancies on the South side.
Remember, we're all tomorrow starting at 10 with Black and Abdallah. Everybody's at Cork and Carry by the park, just north of Armour Square, north of the ballpark. There. We'll see you there tomorrow.
Big history Caps happened walk is for tomorrow. This radio station in Armour Square.
Yes, it certainly did. Maybe Sylvie will take you down memory lane tomorrow with some of that.
I remember.
Is anyone going to get punched out there tomorrow?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Tonight, Whiskey U with Old Forrester at the Elm in LaGrange, 6:30 to 8:30. Hope to see you there. And it's free, so come on by. Waddle and Sylvie are next. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Beautiful day in the city today. Tomorrow we're out at Cork and Carry at the park. We're in the shadows of Guaranteed Rate. Caps walking tomorrow. Walk is one, supporting Bernie's Book Bank. Can't wait for that. They raise great money for a great cause. I think we're going to visit with Cap tomorrow.
Cap's going to throw out the first pitch in the game, too,
yes,
right?
Him and Darren from Bernie's Book Bank.
Will he have the legs underneath him after such a long walk?
He surprised us hitting on the baseball field.
I know he's got baseball skill, but when he went to hit against Brett Merkin, I don't think he had walked 21 miles or however many miles prior to getting there.
Yeah, 21 miles. Is this a third annual one? I think there's been three, and it's been...
Yeah, I believe you're right, yeah.
I think the first one was like right at the height of COVID, and they ended up in Highland Park. Last year, didn't they visit all the different stadiums?
That's correct, yep.
And then this one, they're going from a Guaranteed Rate to Wrigley and back or something like that? Mm-hmm. Or so,
I don't know that I could physically do it in the shape.
Yes, you could.
When I walked... to and from the game from the Hilton down on Michigan Avenue, I felt like I needed medical attention. So I don't think I could probably.
You don't have to sprint. It's just walking.
Well, I wasn't sprinting then either. But like by the time I got home at night after that glorious win over the 49ers, my shins hurt. My quads hurt. My hips hurt. And that was probably a total of maybe there and back. Let's just be generous and say 2.5 to 3 miles.
I think you can. I think you could.
I don't know that I could.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone yesterday for showing up to Jewel Osco. Thank you to Connie's Frozen Pizza. Another fantastic event with the Connie's Pizza truck.
I wish the truck was outside today because I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, and it's delicious. Every time we have it, we're like, this is amazing. The pepperoni is the absolute best. Yeah. All right, so now, speaking of meat, we were saying that Justin Fields was serving up meatballs.
Yeah.
I don't believe he needed to apologize. I don't think he did much wrong. At the very least, maybe a little sloppy.
Clunky, as you called it.
Clunky, sloppy, loose. again, I didn't think what he said about fans after the game, and I'll play that again, was that big of a deal. I think people want to be mad, we're mad. You know, and
welcome to 2022.
Yeah, and I like I am a fan, and like I like to I love to stick up for the fan when the fan has been wronged. I don't believe Justin Fields wronged any fans. He was factually correct by saying players care more than fans about wins. That's their livelihood. Just like you care about your job more than anybody else. No matter how close you are with that person, you care about the work you do the most.
Factually correct.
That's he didn't say that fans don't care. That's a good thing that he's saying that we really, really, really care about it. So this was, again, after the loss Sunday. We should care about how their offense is looking, the lack of passes, the lack of completions, the lack of reading the defense and processing the info. And not about like some sort of innocuous statement after a loss 10 minutes after the game. This was Justin Fields with the question.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in, so... just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
So, and again, the question was phrased, does it hurt more because of the rivalry, ... and the fans? Like, if the question is just shaped, does it sting more because of the rivalry, fans aren't brought into it. And then, like, he's pissed off, and then he hears about the fans again and how much the rivalry means to him. And I think the point he was making is, guys, we care the most about this because we're the ones working all week on trying to beat the Packers. This sucks for us. And, of course, it sucks for the fans. Like, and if he wasn't sloppy, he would have prefaced it by saying that. But, yeah, look, we want it for the fans, but most of all, we want it for ourselves.
My hope is after he's addressed this today that it completely goes into the ether. Is that what the kids say? It goes into the ether?
Goes into the cloud. It's the cloud. The cloud.
Well, yeah. I don't even want it in the cloud because I don't want it saved.
Yeah, I say the cloud never,
well, the ether, never goes away. The ether also saves it.
Okay,
so,
well,
yeah.
I don't want it in the ether. Then. I don't want it saved. I just want it to evaporate. How about that?
There you go.
How about it goes into the atmosphere?
You want it to be a Snapchat. Good job,
Miller. Oh, is that what Snapchat
does? Oh, yeah. Deletes after 10 seconds.
Okay, so I want this to go into Snapchat.
Does a Snapchat really delete? It's always there.
No, Snapchat's gone unless someone's being, right, you know, unless you creepy.
But then you get, yeah, but then you get a notification when someone screenshots it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so it's
okay. So I don't know any about that crap.
Snapchat.
So
that's
can
a good
I just
way to put
say
it, yeah.
that again? I hope it evaporates into the atmosphere. Is that okay, a better way to say it?
Yeah. So, okay, listen to the difference in the way in which he's speaking, too. Like, obviously, the Bears must have whispered something. I thought it was a nice job that he started the press conference this way. And again, there are much, much bigger fish to fry, guys, if you're a Bears fan, than wondering about if Justin Fields, you know, wronged any sort of fan.
I just drank Yurko's coffee.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. Well, it is because it's got ingredients in it that I don't order, so... That was kind of shocking.
And Yurko's been putting his dirty mouth on it.
That's a less than subtle way of saying, you know, you don't want to drink out of anybody else's stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look,
Johnny, call me and let me know what your test results are.
I mean, look at what he's been doing lately.
He's been playing a lot of golf. I don't know what else he's doing.
Here's Justin Fields.
Oh, now you got me. You know what? Am I going to have to put one of these Clorox wipes?
Get him some NyQuil chicken.
I was going to say, he has some NyQuil stronger chicken. Than that, little sleepy chicken for Waddle.
No.
Shut. Here's Justin Fields from like about an hour and a half ago up at Hell's Hall.
You know, I was mad after the game. And I mean, I like to address this now to get everything cleared up. But, you know, there was a thing that I said on Sunday after the game where I said, you know, the fans don't put in work. And when I was, you know, first off, you know, I was frustrated after the game. So, you know, number one, I didn't want to come and talk to you guys. I wasn't in the mood to come and talk to you guys. So, you know, I should have did a better job explaining what I meant by that. But what I meant by that was I'm talking about work, you know, regarding the game on Sunday, winning the game. You know, I don't know any fans. I don't know what they're doing in their personal lives. And I respect every fan that we have. I'm, you know, glad that we have fans. So, you know, I would never disrespect, you know, anybody on what they do or what they love to do. And, you know, that was, you know, it came off like that. And, of course, you know, some social media outlets, they, you know, quoted my quote and, you know, they got a big buzz on it. So, of course, they did a great job doing that. And, of course, social media is going to do that. But, yeah, I just wanted to clear that up right now. And, you know, now back to the question. I'm sorry. I just want to clear that up.
And I think he was asked about, like, his mistakes from Sunday and how he's processed them. And that's how he started. And it was a decisive answer, more decisive than we've heard, less cliche. And he addressed it.
Every day. How old is he? 22, 23? And he's probably infinitely more mature on a lot of fronts than your average 22 or 23 because he's been exposed to a lot because of his enormous gifts and accomplishments. This is a learning process on the field and off. This is not a big deal from my perspective. But obviously, Brandon Faber and the PR staff gets game ball for helping a young quarterback kind of just, now he knows. And he'll learn from it. You can decide how you want to respond as a player. If you want to still speak from the, you know, from wherever it is you want to speak and do it however you want, that's up to you.
It's up to you.
That's up to you. Like, to me, it's just like, I'm 55 years old. I want the path of least resistance on all fronts. Like, I don't have enough energy to fight all those fights. And I think that's what you learn over the course of time. Not a felony, but something that you don't even want on your plates.
Right.
And you don't even put it on your plates.
Because you control it.
Because
you control the narrative.
So this is like as small of a deal as it is. And again, I hope it evaporates into the atmosphere. It's also a learning experience for him, the way that some of the things that transpired on the field on Sunday are learning experiences.
I don't think for me as a fan that I was wronged at all as a Bears fan for what Justin Fields said. I would say this to him with that answer, like if I were media coaching him, I would tell him when he says, and I like the honesty that he said, I don't want to come in and talk to you guys. I would also say part of the work and part of the job is after the game. It's part of the gig that you get paid handsomely for, that you get the endorsements for, is you have to speak even after tough losses.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, you're going to have to speak regardless so you could portray yourself the way you want to be portrayed.
And listen, from a business perspective, and this is a job. Like, I know this is his passion and he loves the sport. This is a job. And to enhance your value, you know, and your marketability, being an NFL starting quarterback, there are riches out there.
Yeah.
And if you handle the situation the right way, not just on the field, but with all of the stuff, my goodness, you can drink from the fountain of goodness like nobody else.
That's a good fountain. Cuddy would be good on this because I think Cuddy throughout his maturing and growing up in Chicago, and he was much older when he first got here at 26.
Yeah.
You know, he acted much differently on the podium at the end than he did at the beginning. And I think he'd be really good. Like, look, nobody wants to do it. You want to lose a game and you want to put in all that effort only to get your ass kicked to then come out and speak to a bunch of guys who are going to critique you the next day. No one wants to do it. But it's part of the war.
You know, if somebody asked me just from experience, what I would tell you is just, like, you do what's most comfortable for you, but there is a way to do it that can be beneficial for you and can take some of the pressure off of you.
Play the game.
Take some of the, and it's harder now than ever before because when I was playing, there wasn't Twitter. There wasn't social media. Like now, everyone is yap, 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 yap. Everything you do, you fart, you're a horrible person. You know, you shake someone's hand, you're the next saint. I mean, like, everyone over-exaggerates everything. It's got to be difficult for young people that are doing their jobs in a public forum. Now, I get it. Some people say, oh, you get paid millions of dollars. You do. And that's part of the upside. As I've always said, the downside is every single little thing you do is under scrutiny by millions and millions of people. And for a 22 and 23-year-old, that's a lot to deal with.
Well, think how tough it is for Kevin Durant these days.
Sure.
And he's one of the greatest of all time, and he's been through it all.
So
he hates it all as much as anything, and he's belly aching about it.
And listen to what I'm saying here, because I'm sure there's people that are willing to twist everything I'm saying. I'm not having a pity party for anybody. I'm just telling you the atmosphere that exists is one where, if you manage it correctly, you can make life easier for yourself. It takes time for you to mature and learn how to get there. And by the way, If you don't want to go that route and you want to do it your way, that's totally up to you. Just know there will be more friction
right.
along the way.
Right. This is Kevin Fishbane. He tweeted, I wish Fields didn't have to clarify his obviously taken out of context comments from Sunday night. But in this world we live in, but this is the world we live in.
Yes.
As someone covering him, I selfishly appreciate that he is going, quote, more personality as opposed to robot, and Bears fans will too. That was one thing that was a big takeaway. He was much different at the podium today. We'll see. And I will play you the answer in that regard, where it was more descriptive on some of the things he did wrong in that Packers game. I want to play that for you coming up next. Just recorded something with Len Casper as we did a great drive along with the brand new Toyota Tundra. You should check it out today.
It wasn't a recap of the 2022 season on the South Side, was
it? We talked about fun stuff, family. We talked about road trips, food, ESPN Chicago Facebook page, and also the ESPN Chicago Instagram page. Make sure you follow both. Our Instagram page is ESPN_Chicago. Follow us right now. Check out my conversation and test drive of the Tundra with Len Casper. Then go to Toyota.com and check out your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
You know, I talked to my dad about it and, you know, I mean, as long as I'm going to be in this position, you know, there's always going to be stuff like that pops up. So just knowing that, you know, as long as I'm in this profession, that it's really never going to go away. So I just got to either be really, you know, clear to, you know, everything that I say, be really descriptive of what I really mean, or just really not say anything at all.
So there you go. He talked to his dad about it. I don't know if you guys remember the story. His dad was very active in the 2020 college football season. Remember that when the Big Ten?
I don't remember that.
So the Big Ten was going to not play. Remember when some of the other conferences right. decided to play?
Yeah.
And I think Justin's dad led, I don't know if it was a protest or at least
so he was present play. There. I remember.
Yeah, they stood outside.
Meeting, yeah.
Yeah, they stood outside the Big Ten offices in Rosemont and said, look, let the kids play. And so then they ended up relenting and they created like a 6-game schedule regular yeah. season. That's all right. So, like, his dad's been always really present in his life.
Been a good source of guidance for him.
Yeah, and so we had a conversation. Yeah. I think you heard a different guy today, yeah. and I want to play you some more
you
stuff.
You know what I'm most concerned with?
Is his play.
When he hits that fifth step and he sees that curl route at 14 yards, don't waver. Put your foot in the ground, create a balance, and stick it in there.
Play decisively like you spoke decisively.
Yes, that's what I care about.
Yeah. Here's Justin Fields. Remember the soundbite that we just played?
Let it rip!
Where he talked about, the fans and how the fans are important. The question was about his mistakes and what he learned from it from watching the film. And then he veered into that because he wanted to clear the air on that. So this was his actual answer to the question about the mistakes that he made.
Yeah. So Monday, you know, we kind of just, you know, come in and watch film and, you know, kind of learn from the mistakes. And, you know, you're still, you know, not in the best mood, but towards the end of Monday, you start to, you know, get back on your feet. And me personally, I'm going to wake up. Today I woke up at 5:40, so I'm waking up early, like changing up my whole routine because, like, I just hate the feeling of losing. Like, Sunday it hit different. So, like, it hit different than all the losses last year. It's just like when, you know, when we come in and put in so much work, like, from the morning to the afternoon, and, you know, when I see my teammates on Thursday, Friday, when I see them, you know, getting happy to go home early to put their little girl to bed, like stuff like that. So it's just like all that stuff we do to prepare for the game on Sunday and we come out with a loss, it just sucks. So I'm just, you know, trying to change up my routine a little bit, you know, trying to, you know, just get in as much work as possible, just knowing, you know, that I can't do anything more to prepare, you know, for this game mentally and, you know, also physically.
There you go. Way more descriptive.
What does Zeke do down in Dallas when he's got it rolling? He gives you the, you know, keep feeding me, keep feeding me. Like, there's Bear fans out there listening to that right now going, give me some more of that. Give me, which is part of playing the game, so to speak.
He's serving up the meatballs.
Yes.
The meatballs for the meatballs.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's more meatballs if you guys want some.
All right, here's more about he's hit this hard about taking losses hard. And he described that a little bit more.
Well, at first it was, you know, the Packers, and then it was just like, I don't know, just the emotional investment that you put in, you know, every day, just everything. It just sucks losing. And I mean, I've never, you know, liked losing. So even as a little kid, my dad used to be playing me in basketball, playing me in basketball in the backyard. I used to like cry when I lost. So it's just like, you know, I don't like losing at all. Like it just doesn't sit right, you know, with me.
I've always liked Fields, and it's why I was such a believer when they did draft him. And I'm a little more nervous now, as I've told. But to me, he's a smart kid, yeah. Like, and he's showing more that about this and giving us more of an inside look. Take it or leave it, if you like that stuff. But again, he's super athletic. He's got a super strong arm. He's a really bright guy who I've heard works hard. So he checks all those boxes. Whether that can equate to being our first star quarterback, we have to see, because there's more to it than just checking off a checklist.
It sounds like he's appears to be a more concerted effort to kind of just be more, I don't know if the right word is to say, but like, he's always expressed, I think, leadership qualities inside the four walls of the building. Like, I think those guys follow him. But I think that you're just seeing a young man kind of mature as time. This is the way, this is the natural progression.
Yes.
Like, this isn't anything that has never happened before. And now the progression needs, you can have the nicest, most well-spoken quarterback on the face of the planet on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If he can't play on Sunday, he's just a nice guy that can't play.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It's the melding of the two, which ultimately takes you to the promised land.
Yep.
So
if you want to react to Fields, I want to take some calls. Does that move you at all? Do you feel better if you are critical? Does it not matter to you at all because you just want to see results as Bears fans? 312-332-3776. I also promised here at 3... a deeper dive into the White Sox. And to me, like a lot of people said, Sylvie, you're too hard on La Russa. You know, and we've always said there's lots of blame to go around. And I really circle an important part of this organization. And I believe it's been a systemic issue for this team, like the Chicago Bears. There are similarities here, and I will highlight those, which last night was probably it for the White Sox. And we could have that discussion all coming up next.